Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Do the actions have to match the message? Stoke, we have now just busted through the doors of free agency. And we've heard crickets surrounding the Broncos. But also, we've heard from John Elway, and we've seen so far with the signing of Joe Flacco, this is a win-now program. Is it not? Is it a win-now program?
I mean, that's the direction they're heading, right? I mean, that's what they're talking about.
Can you be in a win-now program, a win-now mindset, without trying to address one of these holes in the biggest way possible?
Making a big move.
To match up with, hey, we're trying to, like John always said, we're going to try to win the division this year.
I think you can. You can be smart about it. You can still be in win-now mode and not make this type of move and not make a big splashy move early on. You can do it that way. There's going to be good players still available, and that's what we have to remind ourselves of every single year, okay? Take a deep breath. I promise you, there will be some good deals available. And just because you don't sign that five-star recruit doesn't mean your recruiting class is trash.
Right.
Or you're not going to have a good program in 3 years. Find the right fit for your football team at the right price, because the Broncos don't have the luxury of $100 million in cap room, $75 million in cap room, to go out there and be ultra-aggressive early in free agency. But there'll be some good bargains, some good players that are available at the right price for the Broncos, and you can build your football team, win-now football team, in taking that route and not making the big early moves that you see some of these teams doing. There's different ways to do it. You got to hide. Now, obviously, you got to make sure you get the right guys. But I think in the situation the Broncos are in, they realize that they have to be a little bit more picky about the route that they go in free agency and about the players that they acquire in free agency. But it still can be a success, and it can still be a situation to where you can win with these guys. And that's what we used to do in Indianapolis every single year. You know, we paid our players for the most part. And in free agency, you know, we had Bill Polian on. And that's what he told us when we had him on. We were talking about free agency. Let this all go. And then once it settles down, there's going to be some really good football players that you'll be able to find at the right price. But don't get caught up into the whirlwind of free agency and thinking you have to go spend big money. I think it's a huge mistake for the Washington Redskins, Landon Collins. I think he's a good football player. He hadn't been quite the same the last couple of years. And you throw that kind of deal at him, now he's a hard-hitting, thumping in the box safety, but he's not a cover guy. So, and you throw that type of money at a guy, to me, that is an overreach. I would prefer a Honey Badger. I mean, there's some good bargains, safeties that you look at that you could get for a lot better price. Earl Thomas. But so I wouldn't mind the Broncos making a big move if it was the right guy. But at the same time, like, I think in our situation that we are in right now in Denver, it's best to just wait.
Which is a little bit counterintuitive for some people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think for...
They're like, look.
Fans,
hey,
right?
Hey, we need help right now. We need the best available player.
Why are we not signing Landon Collins? Why are we not signing, you know, the top guys? Well, like, there's ways to... Other ways to build a football team than going out there first day of free agency and making big moves.
And you were referring to the Landon Collins deal and how, in your mind, what he's going to get paid doesn't quite match up with what he's going to bring to the table on Sundays. That deal is a six-year deal, $84 million. More than half of it is guaranteed, $45 million guaranteed. The risk that you run with this, look, Landon Collins should upgrade that football team, but the risk that you run is that will you reach a certain point over the next handful of deals look at what you're getting, look at what you're paying, look how much it's occupying your books, and saying, gosh, would love to get out from underneath that.
Yeah. And you look at all the great safeties that are on the market. And he's supposed to be in his prime, still a young football player. But I would be a little bit nervous about that deal.
Landon Collins, you're talking about the safety market. He's now been signed. Adrian Amos, still out there. That could be applicable to the Broncos. Don't know if it's going to, but we've talked about that. Earl Thomas, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, LaMarcus Joyner, Tyrann Mathieu.
I mean, there's a lot of good safeties, and I think once you let the dust settle a little bit here, you're going to be able to find a guy that will be better value. See, Landon Collins is a really good football player. I'm not saying that, but I'm talking about value. Like, how much are you paying? What are you going to get out of him? I think there's going to be great value at the safety position. So don't overspend at the safety position like the Redskins did. I don't mind overspending at another position. But the safety position to me doesn't make a whole lot of sense. A lot of really good football players there. You'll be able to get great value at that position. It's going to be interesting. Still a lot of really good football players out there. I mean, this thing just started.
It just started.
And you can kind of feel some panic on the RamosLaw.com text line from Broncos fans.
Right.
Like, what are we doing? You know, those types of texts that are coming down. And it's just like, deep breath here, okay? There's still a lot of really good football players available, and we just started this thing. And there'll be really good football players available, you know, day three of free agency, day four of free agency. So patience. And the Broncos situation, I think patience is the key here.
And we also got to remember that this is just the tampering period. There is a good chance, well, I don't know about a good chance, but there's a real chance that the Broncos are getting stuff done right now just because we're not hearing about it and just because Adam Schefter's not tweeting about it doesn't mean that wheels aren't in motion as we're speaking. Wheels are in motion.
That's right.
So, like you said, hang tight. I need to hear some of that too because I feel like some of those texters sometime. Like, look, we got stuff we need to address. Why am I not hearing anything?
What are we doing? And same thing for me. Look, I mean, it's only human nature to think, like, we got to get these upper echelon guys to fix this thing right away. But that's not the case. That doesn't have to happen right away. You can build a football team with good, solid football players at the right price where you get great value for. I think that's what we need, great value players. And maybe they have, you know, the room to go out and make one big move. But I think you're going to see them try to do more value players. And that's not necessarily saying it's a Band-Aid. It's not going to be these aging players that, you know, you're going to have to throw money at that you're going to regret in a year. When you look at the Emmanuel Sanders and Darian Stewart deals, those aren't aging players. Those are still guys that were hopefully reaching their prime in the NFL, and that's what they did at reasonable contracts. So they got great value for players still in their prime, and the deals were really team-friendly. I think you have to see more of those types of contracts for the Broncos.
I've been waiting all day to gauge your opinion on some of the stuff we've heard over the weekend in that two teams in the AFC West are trying to tinker with the game of football itself. Details next. I got to get your opinion on this. We got two teams in the AFC West that are trying to tinker with the game of football here.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Fundamentally. We'll start off with the Denver Broncos. NFL teams have proposed some rule changes here. 9 of them total, I believe, for 2019, including an intriguing alternative from the Broncos to bypass the onside kick.
I did see that.
You did.
I did see that.
Let me just
yes, break it down
this
for
real
me
quick.
Again.
According to the Broncos' proposal released Friday night by the National Football League, each team would have one opportunity per game, just one.
One shot.
Do not miss it. One opportunity per game to remain on offense after a fourth quarter score. So you score, and instead of kicking off, the team would line up on its own 35-yard line. And for what is, in essence, Stoke a fourth and 15. So you're on your own 35. The line to gain is 15 yards ahead.
Okay.
If the team gains the 15 yards, it maintains possession. If not, the defense takes over deep in your own territory.
I think now that you've seen this implemented in the AAF, I've kind of come around to it.
Yeah.
And you see with the new kickoff rule how unlikely it is to get an onside kick and how hard it is now. It's more difficult now than ever to get an onside kick. The likelihood of that happening is...
I think this past season it was 54 opportunities and four...
Right.
Retaining possession or...
What percentage is that? Just off the top of your head real quick.
2.5%.
Okay. Yeah, not very high.
How do you think I did there?
I had no clue. Probably pretty good.
Because I'm thinking 54 is almost half 100 if you just double it.
Oh, not sure.
Well, addition is a problem. Searching for an answer.
But then you have to double the four, so that'd be like 8% maybe? Oh, gosh.
Can we get some clarification?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, probably about 6%.
Something like that?
Yeah.
All right. So it
was good. No, it was a good job of trying to do it. Very, very low likelihood of getting an onside kick. What could make it more fun? How about a fourth down and 10? Fourth down and 15. I'd rather see a fourth down. 15 to me is really hard. Fourth and 12. Make it a little bit more doable, but I'm fine with fourth and 15. I kind of like this. The one thing I don't like about it is only one.
You want the liberty to be able to do this as many times as you want throughout a game?
Well, they said fourth quarter, right? Oh, you only get one shot.
Yep. Hey, no, it's a fair question. What if you're down five scores?
Right.
Is the middle of the third too early to try this?
Exactly. Or if you're down three scores in the third, can you not try it then? Or can you try it as much as you want, but only in the fourth quarter get one? I think in the fourth quarter, what if you're down 13 points, you score. To make it down 13 points, you try an onside, one of these onsides, you get it, you score again. Now you just, what do you have to do? You have to just kick off? Or do you have to try the old-fashioned onside? Like, what happens then? Is there going to be no more kickoffs? Like, what do we do then?
You know what? I don't hate it. If you go down this road, just go down the road.
Yeah, just let it happen all as much as you want in the fourth quarter.
Wouldn't that be something? And if, not that this would happen, but if you had a prolific offense that you believed in and you want to put somebody in a hole, you probably wouldn't do that. But...
Who knows?
I'm just saying, if you score and you go up seven or you go up, I don't know, nine or whatever, say, no, we're gonna take our shot at this. We love our defense, but we love our offense even more. We're going to go for it again. You're not getting the ball back right now. We're going to play keep away here. We're going to try.
Look, I've seen about Jeff Fisher try to onside kick on us every single time that they scored. And it was probably five or six.
Really?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. So you could see a football team maybe like that just says, forget it. That's what the Titans did. They knew if we got the football, we were scoring, and we did. But they got two or three of those onside kicks.
That's
hilarious.
You could
see a football team, just like you said, where they respect that opposing offense so much. What's the difference between giving them the football at the 30-yard line on their own 30 or our own 30? It's no different. And that's what the Titans thought that day when they tried onside kick after onside kick after onside kick. And I'm on the sideline screaming at Russ Burnell, our special team, like, can we move everybody up? I guarantee you they're going to kick an onside kick again. Like, what are we doing? So
that's hilarious. I don't remember that.
You could see that happening. You could see that happening where a team just respects that other offense so much it doesn't matter to them. They're like, who cares?
Yeah.
Our defense isn't any good.
Right. Right.
So we might as well go for it. Interesting, though. I think you're going to see something happen there where this whole kickoff thing gets removed from the game completely, and you get the football at the 25, and if you want to go for, you know, a onside kick, it's going to be a fourth down play.
What do you think of the Chiefs' proposal that under their amendment, each team would possess the ball at least one time in overtime, even if the first team scores a touchdown.
I like it. So normal rules, I mean, everything else is the same. You're not starting at the 20. You're not starting at the 25. You're kicking off. Each team's going to get at least one opportunity.
Yeah, you get one touch.
I like that.
Me too.
Let's make it happen. I mean, offenses are so good. The rules are set up for offenses to be successful. Not saying that they are going to be successful, that they are going to take advantage of that opportunity. But as a fan, it has nothing to do with what has happened.
Right.
But as a fan, I would have liked to see, you know, Patrick Mahomes get a chance with the football also.
Sure.
To one up and to do what Tom Brady did. I mean, how entertaining would that have been? Right?
If this was never the rule in the first place that, you know, first team scores, it used to be you even kick a field goal,
right.
It's over. If you were to hit the reset button and we erased all of our memory for football, I think this is how that we would draw it up the second time. Why wouldn't you let both teams touch it?
Yeah.
That's just me. I know a lot of people are like vehemently against it, and reasonable minds can disagree here. But I like it. I think it's progressive. All right, it's that time of day. Stokely stoked up, and we're getting hyped next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
It's that time of year, Zach. Free agency is here, and I'm fired up. We're seeing record-breaking contracts being handed out. And no, the Broncos haven't made a big move yet, and some fans are getting anxious. Zach, I see you getting a little nervous over there, but look, I think that's a smart move. The Broncos aren't in a situation to go out and be one of those teams that sets the market for a player. They're going to need to find some of those bargain basement shopping. That's what kind of shopping they're going to need to do. Don't worry, Zach. There'll still be some good players available that they'll be able to get to help this football team out. They just don't have the luxury to go out and pay a lot of money early on. And, Zach, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely's stoked up.
That's what I'm talking about!
So you are not, and I'm not saying I am, but I want to bounce this question off you because I feel like some people are, and you just reference them in your stoked up. We see them on the RamosLaw.com text line. You're not. Nothing about your view of the Broncos is altered whatsoever by not hearing them in the mix of any of these headliners.
No. It's probably a good thing. You see the Landon Collins deal. I think they're overpaying. I don't think you got great value there. If you don't have $100 million in cap room, you want to get great value on your contracts. You don't want to overpay. So I think you're going to see a lot of these teams, what they're doing early on in free agency is they're going to end up overpaying. They're not going to get great value for the type of money that they're paying for these players. Great value will come, you know, day three in free agency.
Sure.
Let this kind of settle down a little bit, and that's when you'll see great value. Now, you got to hit and find the right guys, obviously, but they've done it before, so hopefully they can do it again. Manuel Sanders, Darian Stewart, those types of contracts and those types of players, that's the Broncos are going to have to find a couple of those players.
I see on the RamosLaw.com text line, teams that win free agency usually never win anything else. I'm not sure that's true. But I do sometimes think that we get caught up with, you know, how much of an upgrade player X is going to, how much is Landon Collins going to elevate the Washington Redskins?
Yep.
You know, and sometimes it's a little bit overstated. And I remember, back in the day, Colin Coward would say, the player that you think is your needle mover is worth a half of a point on Sunday.
Right.
Talking about what the experts in the desert think. Now, Tom Brady misses a game, that's worth 4.5 points. That's worth 6 points. But Landon Collins,
he
might not even be worth half of a point on a Sunday.
That's right. Exactly right. What kind of value are you going to get for these players? And so I think the Broncos are probably making the wise decision early on to stay out of this. Find some good deals and don't overpay. If you overpay for some of these guys, that's the Band-Aid. But you don't get great value. What kind of value are you getting on these guys? So if you are overpaying for guys, if you are signing aging guys where in 2 or 3 years you're looking at those contracts saying, oh, that's not good. Kind of like we're doing right now with Ron Leary.
Yeah.
It's just a bad contract.
Oof.
And you're stuck. That's a Band-Aid. And that's a bad Band-Aid.
The way you laid that out earlier is painful, if you don't mind.
Was it kind of like a Picasso, the way that thing came together?
Well, Picasso paintings don't much come together at all. That's what makes him a Picasso. There's just a lot going on everywhere.
Oh.
Who was I thinking about? You were thinking about Rembrandt.
Yes, good old Rembrandt. The way that that comes together is just like magical.
Honestly, what's the guy with the fro? Bob Ross.
Bob.
Oh, look at the friendly trees.
Well, yeah, like Bob. What's that? Bam! Comes together. It's like magic. That's the way that my Ron Leary.
Well, unfortunately, it didn't feel like it. Felt like magic that inserted a punch into my stomach. Because you were talking about the injury guarantees that he had in his contract. That is why we can't move on from Ron Leary. And because you have to bring him back, it's not just about Ron.
No, it's now it's about Matt Paradis not being able to re-sign him. It's about a very versatile offensive lineman that played at a high level for you and Billy Turner that you would love to have back. Well, guess what? You can't bring him back now. And you're stuck with an aging guy that wasn't playing a high level. And you're going to be, wow, cap hit of, I didn't even know it was this bad.
Uh-oh.
9.2.
Yikes.
It says cap hit.
Yikes. Golly.
Base salary of $8 million. I don't know exactly what is guaranteed, if the whole thing is fully guaranteed, or if it's $6 million guaranteed.
It was closer to that.
It might come down a little bit, but you're right around $6 million guaranteed, but it's going to affect the other guys that you're going to sign. And is Ron Leary going to even play for you?
That's the final uppercut.
That's it. That's a Mike Tyson. When you hit him with that uppercut, night-night.
Like, you're in a bad contract. He's underperformed the bad contract. Because of the ripple effect, you can't sign Matt Paradis or Billy Turner, more than likely. And he may not even be ready to play. That is a four-punch combo.
That is the ultimate Band-Aid that Vic Fangio is talking about. Where, you sign this guy, and you're thinking you're going to get a lot of production from him. But then when that production isn't there anymore, you can't even move on from him. That is a big band-aid because you're in such a bad spot. The Broncos were in such a bad spot with their offensive line. I don't want to say they panicked, but they gave a guy a bad contract for them, for the Broncos. And guess what? Now it's coming back to bite them. So if they were able to move on from it after this year, then it's like, okay, it just wasn't the right deal, but at least they can move on from it now. But now that they're not able to move on from it, I mean, this is the definition of a Band-Aid. And it's going to haunt the Broncos. They will not be able to sign one of either their own free agents, whether it's Billy Turner or Matt Paradis. They might prefer to keep Billy Turner, honestly, over Matt Paradis. And people will laugh at that all they want, but Billy Turner is a very versatile guy that can play a lot of different positions. And
still a young player, 27 years old.
And they're really high on him. They tried to sign him before free agency started, and he's going to see what the market is. So I think they would probably prefer, if they had the choice, to get Billy Turner done over Matt Paradis. I really do. But it's going to cost you a player, a bad contract that you signed, two, 3 years ago. It's a shame.
Mm.
And you don't even know what you're going to get from this guy.
You don't.
Maybe nothing. Coming off of Achilles, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Might not ever play another down again.
He may not. I can't believe I'm seeing this name on the first day of tampering. Frank Gore.
Wait, what?
I can't believe this dude is still playing football.
He got hurt last year, right? He was with the Dolphins?
He was with the Dolphins. He still played 14 games. This dude, who ran for over 700 yards this past year, by the way, he's 35. He's 35 years old. He just signed another contract, 1 year, $2 million with the Buffalo Bills. The fact that this guy is still like...
Wants to end his career in misery over there in Buffalo.
Tell you what.
In the cold? Holy cow. That's not a way to go out. Go out in South Beach. Let's go see the sun.
Oh my goodness. The ageless wonder.
That's unbelievable. Good for him. Look, Frank Gore, the reason why he stuck around, he's been durable and he's been really good, but I guarantee he's great in the locker room. He's great for the young guys.
Oh,
he's a great mentor and does all the right things. So good for Frank Gore. I mean, it's fun to watch guys like that. That, man, I mean, how impressive is that to play
still
that position
kicking.
And to be able to do it at the level that he's been doing it at? Impressive. So good for him.
And he is fourth on the all-time rushing list. He's fourth, and if he has a productive season, it looks like if he has a season like he just had, he will pass Barry Sanders for third on the all-time rushing list. Frank Gore.
Wow.
Crazy.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
You know, I've talked about this before. I think he has to be just on the stats alone. I do. Like, when you think of Frank Gore, what do you think of? Like, no real moments stick out.
None.
You know, didn't really, like...
Don't you have to have a moment? Do you? Or do you not?
When you've ran for more rushing yards than Adrian Peterson, LaDainian Tomlinson, Jerome Bettis, Eric Dickerson, Jim Brown, and Marshall Faulk...
How much does longevity count for? I mean, obviously, it's not just longevity. I mean, he's very productive. Can you ignore it? Because there hasn't been, like, any... moment. At least with Adrian Peterson, you know, over 2,000 yards. I mean, there's moments there.
Right, right.
Frank Gore, there's no real moments. He's just been really good for a long, long time. I mean, a really long time. I mean, does that warrant a Hall of Fame?
I think so. I think so.
I think I'm with you. I do. I think
I'm with
you.
Naturally, I don't normally subscribe to it, but it's so, like, when I think of what makes a Hall of Famer.
How many years? Sorry.
He came in the league in 2005.
Let's not try to do the math, though, because you always forget that first year. You got to count 05.
Yeah, so 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 11, 1, 12, 13, 3, 14, 15, 4, 16, 2, 17, 18, 12. 19. We're talking about 15 seasons.
This year's going to be 15 or last year was 15?
You would know if you listened to me instead of trying to distract me.
All right, so he's going into his 15th. Go ahead.
When I think of a Hall of Fame player, I think of three things. One, personal accolades. Do you have, you know, in a running back's case, you know, rushing titles, all pros, how many Pro Bowl, I think of personal accolades. I think of moments. You know, were you on winning teams that won big? Did you contribute to moments that I can remember? And then third, the longevity. Frank Gore doesn't really have too many of the first two. He just doesn't. Now, he's a five-time Pro Bowler. He was never even a first-team All-Pro. He was second-team All-Pro one time. So two of the three prongs on my criteria are unmatched. But because the one is the peak of Everest, I think it dwarfs the other two to a point where you got to get them through.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty remarkable. I wonder how, you know, if he plays this year, 15 season as a running back. How many running backs have actually played in the NFL for 15 seasons?
Gosh, can't be more than 5 or 6. I mean, this is insane.
It's remarkable. It really is. And you look at his stats, I mean, holy cow. I mean, the 1,000-yard seasons that he's had. And, you know, 2 years ago for the Colts, 961. Last year, 722. So
he's 40 yards shy of a 1,000-yard season just in 2017. But what's as equally as impressive about Frank Gore is the position he plays. The play is not over until Frank Gore is on his back.
Yes.
That's his life. Here's his games played. 14, 16, 15, 14, 14, 11, 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, 14. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
And the 16, the run of 16s, that's the back half of his career.
Give him a jacket.
Give him a jacket, right?
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, gosh. That's so crazy. That is so crazy. The other monster deal of the day, and stuff is still flying in.
And it will be. You know, it will be for the next day and a half, 2 days. And I mean, I think it's pretty much nonstop, because even the names that you won't be hearing during the tampering period, when free agency starts, you'll start to hear those names.
James Palmer just tweeted 60 seconds ago, Broncos former first-round pick, cornerback Bradley Roby getting a lot of interest. Looks like right now it could be down to Texans, Browns, Steelers, 49ers, Raiders, and Broncos.
Yeah, I'd probably take the Broncos off the list. I mean, if that many teams are interested in Bradley Roby, he's going to get paid.
That's right.
And he's going to get paid more than the Broncos want to pay him.
That's right.
More than the Broncos can pay him. So that's kind of the interest that I think we both thought he would receive. You look at his career here and what he has done here. Look, Bradley Roby is a solid cornerback. And you can, you know, highlight some plays or some games where it hasn't been to the level that we had hoped or wanted or expected. But at the same time, this is a starting NFL cornerback that played. He was solid year last year. Those guys are hard to find, aren't they?
They are.
Solid cornerbacks?
Solid cornerbacks get paid like really, really good cornerbacks.
They get overpaid because of the necessity in today's NFL of finding competent cornerbacks. Bradley Roby will get paid, and it probably won't be here in Denver.
And same goes for the position of tackle. And what we saw earlier today was just unbelievable. Former New England Patriots left tackle Trent Brown intends to sign a four-year, $66 million contract that includes nearly $37 million in guaranteed with the Oakland Raiders. $16.5 million annual average value of the deal is the highest for an O-lineman in the NFL. This dude, not too long ago, was sort of just kind of like dismissed. He was an afterthought. I believe the Patriots got him for a fifth-round pick. He comes in and has one solid year. The Patriots win a Super Bowl, and he's signing the biggest contract for an O-lineman that we've ever seen.
Well, you see the premium on those on the offensive line positions. And so if you have a need there and you see a guy trending in the right direction, you overpay for him. And that's the Raiders right now. They're trying to get what happened last year removed from their mental thoughts. They are trying to get back up off the mat and win now. There is no more tanking for the Raiders. And they're sending that message to Vegas and to Oakland. They're going to be in Oakland at least another year, maybe two, they're saying now. We'll see how that plays out. But you see these moves that are being made, they feel like they have a football team now with the draft picks that they have, and then the addition of Antonio Brown and Trent Brown, that they can get right back into the mix of things really, really quickly.
Have they passed the Broncos?
I would say right now, it's close. It's really, really close.
It was close during the season.
And I would say it's probably the same way now. You know, probably a split between the two teams, and they'll be fighting over who's last place. That's where we're at. But it's a coin flip. You know, playing them here at Mile High, I think the Broncos win. You play them over there in that dump over there in Oakland. You know, they probably do what they did to you last year, and that's embarrass you.
That was embarrassing.
It was absolutely embarrassing. I couldn't believe I wasted my time watching that game.
It was Christmas Eve.
Yeah, ruined my Christmas Eve.
I wouldn't let it.
Yelling at the kids. Hurry up and open your present. Gotta go to bed.
We didn't know the special teams rule. Christmas is ruined.
I'm taking all the gifts back. Never mind. Thank the Broncos for ruining your Christmas. No, it's they probably have a little bit. You know, they probably have a little bit past them. But we'll see. Still got time. Still got time here. I want to see, you know, what the Broncos' approach is in free agency. What, you know, pieces they add. They don't have to add these big splashy names. But you get Antonio Brown for a third and fifth. Are you doing something right? You get a guy that left tackle where, you know, he can play left tackle or right tackle on Trent Brown. And you got a guy you drafted in the first round last year who had a solid rookie season, Colt Miller out of UCLA. You can move him to right tackle if you want. So versatility there for them. Trying to get Derek Carter back to playing at the level that he did a couple years ago. They had a solid draft last year. Some good defensive linemen, a couple of them that they drafted. So we'll see what the Broncos do in free agency. We'll also see what they do in the draft. So a long way to go. But right now, the Raiders and the Broncos, you know, it's neck and neck. And you look at what's happening? The Raiders are trying to make a move this year.
What do you think of the Antonio Brown move? I know you just talked about the contract, but yeah. the substance itself from a by the way, let me give you some credit here.
I get credit?
You said a couple weeks ago, you said this whole thing is about guaranteed money.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
He wants
Thank
more you. Guaranteed money. This isn't about disagreeing with Big Ben. This isn't about anything else but more guaranteed money. And that's what he got. He went from having no more guaranteed money left on his deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers to over $30 million in new guaranteed money.
And that's when he was saying it wasn't about money.
Right.
I said, oh, no, watch. It's going to be about money. And then, you know, 3 or 4 days later, he came out and said he wanted more guaranteed money.
Right.
And all these things are about money, mostly. And certainly when you looked at his contract and there was no more guaranteed money on it, it said all I needed to see. I think it's a great move for the Raiders. You only give up a third and fifth for a dynamic receiver, okay, as good as it gets. You're trying to get your offense up to speed. You're trying to get whatever quarterback you're going with, whether it's going to be a young guy this year. Oh, by the way, they got 3 first-round picks. And they got the 4th overall pick, so they got a lot of options. So are they just going to keep riding Derek Carr? Probably so. You look at his contract, I mean, it's in today's NFL quarterback term, I mean, it's very, very manageable, Derek Carr's contract. So I'm sure they'll stick with him and just continue to build that football team up. So that's a great move for the Raiders. Now, it could backfire really, really quickly.
It could.
It could on them, and that's the bed that they made. They're gonna have to lie in it, right? Is that what this is supposed to be the saying? They're gonna have to lie in that thing, because if they're not winning games and he's not getting the football and he starts throwing coolers, yelling at John Gruden, we'll see that John Gruden versus wide receiver part 2. I can't wait. That would be great. Him and Keyshawn,
right?
And now him and Antonio. That's how this could go down.
And the thing is with Gruden, he has unique it's the word I'm looking for. He ain't going anywhere.
Right.
He's got unique
Power.
Leverage where it's
Power,
like, yo,
leverage,
like you don't
right.
make more money than me.
Right.
Like, I am not going anywhere.
I'm not
I'll
putting
be coaching
up with
after you're retired, dude.
Right.
So there adds even more of a unique dynamic there.
And he's going to have to learn how to coexist with Antonio Brown, which I think he realizes that they put a lot of resources in this guy. They're going to have to, he's going to have to figure it out. It's not my way or the highway.
Right.
And so we'll see how that plays out. So it could be a disaster for them with Antonio Brown, but certainly they're trying to make big moves to try to get this back, their situation back going in the right direction, which I think they have. So AFC West, buckle up. I mean, this is going to be a tough one for the next few years for sure.
And by the way, the AFC West may have become the most interesting division in all of football. From an interest level, it may be 1A. Let me pass this along to you before we go. The Jaguars had, this is coming from Ian Rappaport's Twitter account. He's bouncing back quite nicely after the Antonio
back?
Brown Ooh. To the Buffalo Bills
Keep
report.
Keep your head up, baby, like your nose bleeding.
Thank you, AB. The Jaguars had Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles as their top target. Per Mike Garafolo, Nick Foles, 4 years, $88 million. $50 million guaranteed.
50. Good for Nick Foles.
50.
Good
AKA
for Nick Foles.
AKA Ferrari.
Good for Nick
oh
Foles.
Oh, my goodness.
He he's getting a nice contract. 4 years, how much?
$88 million. Holy.
So, probably the first 2 years guaranteed of it. 2 years plus.
And the Jags are expected to release Blake Bortles.
Shocker.
As you
Shocker.
Would think, right?
Shocker.
Yeah, big, strong arm, big, tall quarterback. Right. John, don't even think about it.
He's off limits, John. No. Oh, my goodness.
The drive's coming up next.